Thank you for listening to or watching another episode of SNTR Presents. This is going to be about the guns and the gun perks that came in Shadowkeep. Kind of wanted to give my thoughts and review on this. This is one of the weaker points of Shadowkeep. If you're listening to this on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or watching on YouTube, you can always catch me live at SayNoToRage.com. I'm probably live right now, and SayNoToRage.com will bring you right to my Twitch channel if you want to join these conversations live. If I'm not live, you can click follow. If you're watching on YouTube, hit like and subscribe, helps me out as well. So guns and gun perks were like a big point that I was making about that, you know, we really need some new guns, we really need new gun perks, and we knew going into Shadowkeep, we probably weren't going to get a whole lot of innovation. We kind of got that vibe and that impression from Luke Smith going into Shadowkeep. But that doesn't mean that it's free from criticism. I do think this is one of the weaker points of Shadowkeep, but it's also simultaneously one of the stronger points of Shadowkeep, which is really weird for me to say. So let me kind of make my point. First, I'm going to just open up by saying, to be honest, you know, it's pretty weak. Second, I want to say, still good. They still did a good job, and I want to point out the ways where I feel like they did a good job offering viable, you know, chase-worthy weapons. Like, they're worth, you know, chasing, they're worth pursuing and grinding. And then I want to end the video by saying, you know, what's the way forward? How do we kind of make perks and weapons better? There's a lot of ideas getting thrown around, like, oh, give us weapons 2.0, let us craft our own weapons, let us reroll weapons. Those are all terrible ideas. But I do think they could do a lot with weapons to make them significantly better. So let's just start with being honest. I really think there just simply is not enough guns or new perks in Shadowkeep. That's just, I think, an honest and fair take. I would bet Bungie would even accept that and say it really wasn't a strong weapon showing. Okay, they didn't dump a bunch of weapons on us. They didn't do vendor refreshes. There were no new weapons for Iron Banner. There were no new weapons in the, you know, Zavala and Shaxx's pool or Gambit's pool. You know, the weapon offering is the weakest part of Shadowkeep. It's a good offering. It's just a weak offering. It's like a really, really good sandwich, but it's like half a sandwich. Like, it's not enough, quantitatively lacking, but qualitatively good. But I do think I'm really enjoying Shadowkeep, okay? Even though this is a disappointing aspect of it. So I want to make sure that's clear. I am loving Shadowkeep. I really think this is one of the best places we've ever been in with the game. We're getting quick responses from Bungie when there's problems like Telesto. They're having very open conversations with us. We're really seeing that, you know, One-Eyed Mask is going to get looked at. You know, obviously we're asking Recluse to be looked at as well for build diversity and asking for an artifact mod slot on exotics. You know, these are things we're asking for, but by and large, I think that Shadowkeep has been a successful delivery, and hopefully the subsequent seasons can also be very successful deliveries as we kind of turn the corner into a self-published Destiny with these new systems put in place with Armor 2.0 and everything else. Luke Smith did say that they're not doing a Weapons 2.0 yet, so we kind of should have expected this. We should have expected that the weapon offering and the weapon system wasn't going to be largely expanded upon in Shadowkeep. We also got a pretty clear indication they wouldn't be doing random rolls on the year one weapons. They wouldn't be doing vendor refreshes. And we got a picture of this whenever they did the Escalation Protocol challenge thing, where we were doing the community challenge for the emblem. Dylan came out and said, you know, we can't do random rolls on the Escalation Protocol gear. It's not that easy. It requires testing. It requires a lot more than just slapping that on there. So we kind of knew going into Shadowkeep, we weren't going to be getting it. Again, that doesn't negate the criticism. I think this is, again, one of the weaker parts of Shadowkeep. But I want to transition to saying why it was still good. Why was it still a good offering with respect to the weapons? The guns and the systems added for earning them is actually a really, really praiseworthy setup. If you look at Ikora, I love that system. I think the other NPCs, that's how you do vendor refresh. A couple of weapons, you do frames, like with Ada, you do an internal currency, you already have the tokens for Crucible in the Vanguard playlist, you're good to go. Like, that's how they could be updating the tower vendors. You could do the same thing with the Drifter, right? And I think that's a great system. I also think when you look at the weapons themselves, there are really, really great perk combinations you can get on some of the Vex Offensive weapons. I'm not even talking about the Lectern yet. So just within Vex Offensive alone, as a seasonal piece of content, it's highly rewarding, it's fast, there's stuff dropping everywhere, it's a really, really good treatment of an NPC. She's got weekly, dailies, repeatables, she's got the currency, she's got the frames, it's a really, really good grind. And the guns, aside from the Scout, you can get some really, really good rolls. You can get Feeding Frenzy Rampage, Feeding Frenzy Dragonfly on the Pulse, you can get a really, really good Rapid Hit Demolitionist, or Rapid Hit, I think, it's, I don't know what you can get on the hand cannon outside of Rapid Hit Demolitionist. I think there's some other good roles on the hand cannon. But I really, really am enjoying my Rapid Hit Demolitionist. It feels really saucy. You combine that with anti-barrier rounds and breacher factor, I'm getting grenades like crazy. Then if you look at the Lectern, the rune table next to Eris, the rune table has some amazing weapons. The shotgun can get really great rolls. The grenade launcher that I've been chasing can get really, really good rolls. And the, what were some of the other ones? Oh, the hand cannon. I the Loud Lullaby. I really want to chase that one with the one. It's a 110. The SMG. The sniper. The sniper actually has some really solid rolls. I use the sniper in the raid. Machine gun. Nah, machine guns are kind of in a weird spot right now. But overall, that's another really, really solid system. A really solid group of weapons. Now, I've made critiques about the rune table with respect to the phantasmal fragments and the cores, and it's a little bit of a slow grind when the choice nightmare is not there, and the nightmares rotate really far apart. Waiting 2 to 3 weeks for the fanatic to come back, I think, is a little bit absurd. And I also think that the way that you grind for the cores on an off week, I think a lot of that should be contained in the nightmare hunts. So number one, I think the phantasmal fragment turnover rate is too low. I also think it should be contained more in the nightmare hunts. But overall, I still think the Lectern and the rune table offering as far as weapons and perks is good. The biggest criticism you could make if you look at both these weapon pools is there's just a lack of new perks. A lack of new perks makes it a little less exciting, and I know a lot of people are really hoping we see some bigger changes with that. Now if we look at the raid weapons, this is probably one of the best changes they've made with raid weapons, but they're still not going far enough. And I talked about this in my Garden of Salvation and my raid philosophy video. If you're familiar with websites like light.gg, there's a website called light.gg. You can check the possible rolls on a given weapon. And people quickly discovered that the raid weapons only have 4 potential perks in a given lane. And what that means is that when you look at this particular shotgun, Prophet of Doom, okay? You come in here and you look. Right here where there's full auto and opening shot, there's only a potential of 4 perks in each of these lanes. That really, really limits the possible rolls in a good way. It makes it a little bit more likely you're going to get a roll close to what you want or right on the money. It increases the likelihood because you're shortening the perk pool. I thought that was a good change as well, and I would love to see them do more things like that with the raid. I think if you combine the smaller perk pool with better perks or unique perks or synergistic perks like we got in Wrath of the Machine, that's a really, really great place to take the raid weapons. So overall, while the lack of new perks and while the lack of guns quantitatively is disappointing, I think the quality improvements are there, but they are a little bit more subtle and not quite fully realized. I think raid guns should be better. I think the Lectern grind could be slightly better. I think there's some really, really nice things worth chasing and some good perk combinations worth going for. So the way forward. This is when I'm going to start to bring up ideas that a lot of people still continue to shoot down, but I still think are better ways forward for the weapon system. Number one, a true primary, secondary, and heavy system, and a return of true elemental primaries. Slide all primaries up, and then start really investing in elemental perks. Right now, people are even saying, man, Dragonfly is such a great perk. Dragonfly is so fun. I would love to see more elemental perks. It'd be really great to see Ancient Gospel landing with unique elemental perks. It's a raid gun. It's solar. It would have been really cool to see this as one of their opportunities to say, hey, we've got an elemental primary in the raid. It's really, really great archetype. It's a 140. You know, it's a 140 adaptive. And, you know, you could have slapped some elemental perks on there. Different versions of Dragonfly. Different versions of dot damage or stun damage, bleed damage, you know, anything that you could do with Void, Arc, and Solar. That's a great way, I think, to expand the perk pool as well as just change what we're pursuing. Because right now, we're still really falling into damage reload. That's all we tend to care about. There could be good ways to make elemental damage, elemental effects, and reload, and stability, and magazine, and all that relating to each other. So I think that'd be a great way forward. I also think if you want to bring the influence of Armor 2.0 to guns, I still think a really good thing to do is to come up with a tiered system for the perks. So Rapid Hit should have Normal, Adept, and Enhanced. And if I invest enough currency in Rapid Hit, because I decide this is the role that I really, really love, in the same vein that you do on Armor, right? You get a great stat roll, you're going to invest in the armor all the way up, right? Because you can put more stuff on it. You get the right roll on a gun, and it's the roll that you really, really want. It's going to be costly, but you should be able to invest in Rapid Hit to take it up to Adept and then Enhanced. So we can start capstoning our gear with better versions of perks. I think that would be a really good iteration on Armor 2.0 coming to the weapon system. You're still chasing God rolls, but then you're investing in the roll itself to make it better. And also, more synergy with armor builds. I really think we're coming into a great place. Demolitionist pairing with anti-barrier rounds and breach refractor is just one really good clear example of how you can have really, really awesome synergy from a gun and its perks with your armor and with your your setup and your loadout, making you feel pretty strong, making you feel pretty good. And I think that's a really, really good way for people to start to realize that your guns are an extension of your build and your loadout, and not just something where you're like, get Rampage Outlaw and then you're done. So no rerolls. We don't want crafting. We don't want that level of intentionality, but we do want intentional grind with investment in the weapon after the fact, with a lot more perk diversity and a lot more unique guns and a lot more power too as well on the rolls themselves. If you're listening to this on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or watching on YouTube, you can probably catch me live right now at saynotorage.com. We're going to go to Q&A next. As always, please like, share, and subscribe. Thank you for listening to or watching another episode of SNTR Presents. This is going to be the question and answer session that followed my talk about the guns and the gun perks in Shadowkeep. If you're listening to this on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or watching on YouTube, you can find me live probably right now at saynotorage.com. If I'm not live, you can always click follow, but saynotorage.com will bring you right to the Twitch channel. If you're watching on YouTube, hitting like and subscribe is a free way to help me out. Let's jump right into the first question. Servo Actuator. On the vendor refresh, do you think a weapon bounty similar to how Vex Offensive and Black Armory for each planetary vendor would be a good idea? A specific weapon for each location. I put this in so many videos at this point. I'm surprised you haven't heard this from me. This has been in my videos since Black Armory happened. You might be just new and you haven't heard me. I trumpeted this idea so many times that I got scolded in the comments on my YouTube videos. They're like, okay, enough's enough, Lono, we get it. But yes, I actually think I would love to see a bounty system like this come to the planetary NPCs. I actually argued really recently, just a couple of days ago, that you would only have to do one gun a season. Just one gun a season, honestly. You give Devrim K the old-fashioned. You give Failsafe the Uriel skip. You know what I mean? You give them each one gun a season. And then you just, if you feel like grinding for that weapon, you just go to that planet and you do pubs and lost sectors and complete the bounty, get it, complete the bounty, get it, just keep doing it. I think it'd be a great way. Here's why I think we haven't gotten something like that yet. Here's why I think that year one weapons haven't had anything done to them yet. I think they're holding on to them. I personally think that Luke Smith made it clear they have a lot of things they want to do to weapons first. So I could see them saying, let's completely revamp the weapon system first. Let's do our weapons 2.0, and then we can maybe start to use those old weapons. And yes, I really do want an old-fashioned. I really do. I would love to grind for a God Roll old-fashioned. I love the way the gun sounds. I love the way the gun feels. I love the reload animation. There's so much. They got so much right on some of those early models. A Lincoln Green would be really, really fun to grind for. You know, can you imagine? This season, we would have the old-fashioned at Devrim K, and then next season would be the Lincoln Green. The Lincoln Green is such a fun archetype of scout, and it just sounds really cool too. It's got a silencer on it. So these are just some ways I think they could really rejuvenate the NPCs. And I honestly, I'll be surprised if this never comes to fruition. It would be such an easy way to bolster seasons to say, hey, here's the paid content and here's the free content. Every NPC gets a gun per season. You know what I'm saying? Stuff like that as just a way of bolstering the game without doing much, you know, just using those weapons. Yeah, the pulse. Yeah, the call to serve scout rifle. There are some great. They're the Scathlock. That right there could be Devrim K's rhythm. Right. This season is the old fashioned. Next season's Lincoln Green. Then the call to serve. Then the Scathlock. Look how much mileage you would get out of just those four weapons at one NPC. That's an entire year. That's four seasons. That's this season, and then the winter, spring, and summer. That's four seasons, four guns, and that's just one NPC. It would make the game feel a little bit more alive, a little bit more thing to chase. And I think that'd be a great, great pivot and move. There's so many weapons you could do that with. And those are obviously the ones that are leaning towards Devrim. But there's other weapons. There's the Manananan. There's the Uriels. There's some of the really, really cool Vyst high rate of fire scouts. Did I accidentally say Lincoln Green was a scout? I'm sorry. It's a pulse. Yeah, I misspoke. I think I was reading in chat. And sometimes I do that. Like, I conflate the word in chat and it gets thrown in mid-sentence. It is a pulse. It's a really, really fun pulse. It's a fast-firing pulse. YouTube comments probably already got me on that one. Dan Papa says, so I've noticed that anti-barrier rounds sometimes seem to glitch. I'll be using a pulse with Recluse, and the pulse is shooting through the shields. Have you noticed that at all, or might it be lag? I honestly don't know. It could be lag. Because I think whenever you have the gun up, doesn't it say anti-barrier rounds for a few seconds? Maybe that flashing is there just long enough that your connection to host client isn't resolved quick enough. And, I don't know, maybe you get a couple seconds of it or something. I would say that that's probably not intended. And I wouldn't expect that to continue. They may even figure out a way to stop that from happening if it is in fact happening. Not a glitch. You are able to shoot through all barriers. He is saying that he's doing it with the pulse rifle. A pulse rifle literally cannot run anti-barrier rounds. He's running anti-barrier on his Recluse, but his pulse is able to shoot through barriers. That shouldn't be possible. That's what the question is indicating. So it could be a little bit of a delay of the barrier rounds, like lingering as you swap weapons. Because again, it's almost like it's flashing on the screen when you have it. Jared DeVulture, do you think by bringing back all year one weapons from Vanguard and Crucible with random rolls would be a good substitute for a vendor refresh? We just kind of walked through how that would work. We just kind of walked through how you could take year one weapons at Devrim. You could do the exact same thing with Zavala and Shax. You know, Nameless Midnight would have a season. And then I'm trying to think of some of that. You know, Better Devils would have a season. Better Devils already got brought back, though, so you'd need something else for Crucible. And they'd have their season, and then the next season would be something different for the Vanguard. What was the one? There was a Vanguard, I think there was a Vanguard auto rifle, wasn't there, if I remember right, that was actually not too bad, with the positive outlook, right? That was a Vanguard weapon, I think. Yes, it was. You know, one season is the positive outlook, and then, you know, the next season is something else. That, you know, they're constantly kind of rotating through. Origin Story. Yeah, Origin Story was a great auto rifle from the Vanguard. Again, these are ways to replenish. So, I mean, if you do one gun per NPC per season, it wouldn't, I mean, you got the night, yeah, well, the Nightshade already kind of came back. So you got the Nightshade, you could do the, I'm trying to think of some of the other ones. I don't know if the Nurgle was considered a Vanguard weapon. I think that was a gunsmith weapon. They could do the same thing with a gunsmith. There were gunsmith weapons that could make a return, you know. The Living Memory could come back. It's a 140. It's a 140 and it's an adaptive. And the Service Revolver is a 180 precision. So there's a lot of, you know, there could be a lot of good variety every season, every NPC. Even something like this could maybe be fun. It's a 150 lightweight with random rolls. Could be really fun to chase. And that would be another Vanguard weapon. So that would be my recommendation. That would be my recommendation to Bungie is all you got to do is you've got, how many NPCs is that? 9? You have the 6 vanilla planets, because you got the 4 launch planets and 2 DLC. You got the 6 vanilla planets, and then you got 3... Well, you got 3 NPCs in the tower if you include the gunsmith, right? And if you update Ikora, she's probably going to be attached to the seasonal activities every time. And 9 weapons a season? You can't take 9 existing weapons and throw random rolls on them, test them, and put them into a bounty system? I feel like that's a pretty... easy request to make. So The problem with bringing back year one weapons in mass is you end up dumping a bunch of duplicates in the game. Right. It would be one per, and then maybe even that's when they could start to introduce some new unique perks. So as you're saying, a living memory is just a better devil's. Well, not if it has a different perk pool or different things it could roll on it, right? Maybe there's something new that you couldn't get before. So I do think that's a really good point that was made in that Reddit thread that trended. They were like, listen, you know, the fact that a lot of the vendor refreshes in past seasons just brought a bunch of junk to the tower. Do you really want to go to the tower and be like, hey, you know, we've got this gun, that gun, this gun, that gun? How many times did you go to the vendors in D1 and it's like 80% of what they were offering was just absolute junk? You know what I'm saying? There were so many weapons in D1 that were worthless at the vendors. Give me one second. I remember going to each individual vendor and saying to myself, there's got to be a better way to bring back some of these. You know, there were fast firing hand cannons in D1 that nobody used. There were certain scouts and pulses and auto rifles that just nobody paid any attention to. So like filling the game with guns isn't worth it if most of them are junk. Right? As Eugene said, be surgical with it. I feel like that's one of the reasons why I can criticize Shadowkeep and say, you guys should have done more with weapons and perks, but then I can turn around and say, you know what? What they did was good. What they did was actually good. They actually put in a good number of items. The pursuits of the items are really, really good. I think that's kind of my main takeaway, is that the Lectern and Ikora, I think, are really, really good systems that need to be replicated. And also, the guns themselves can get really, you know, really good potential roles as well. H. Mongolite says, do you think there will be a gun rework, Weapon 2.0, during next 3 seasons, or will it be a hold till next fall? I honestly don't know. Now, they said that the summer will be like no time we've ever had in Destiny before. I don't know if you want to really jazz people up and get them that excited for the summer season if you don't do something significant to the weapon system before that. I would set your sights on spring. I don't think we're going to get anything significant in the winter as far as weapons. Winter is usually pretty light with respect to them making big changes. Like, I don't see them doing that. You know, you think April update, right? That time of the year tends to be a time where they can do a pretty big pass and a pretty big update. That just seems to be the case. The rhythm of past years and past content deliveries. So I could see them coming, oh, hey, it's spring. We're doing our weapons update. We're doing this, we're doing that. Like, I could definitely see them doing that. And not summer, because summer's too close to the next thing. Now, maybe they wait. Maybe that's one of the reasons the summer will be like one of the best times ever, you know, in the history of Destiny, because they're pulling out all the stops. They're updating the weapons. There's new content. There's new things. There's new story, blah, blah, blah. I could definitely see them waiting that long. I don't see us having to wait till September of 2020 to get a weapons update. That seems way too long, because the game's just going to continue to feel lopsided. If we're honest, the game is going to continue to feel lopsided if every time they do a new thing and give us new loot to chase, that, like, armor is the big thing that everybody's talking about and caring about, and weapons are basically a lot of what we've already have or what we've already chased or what we've already earned. It's going to turn into just a lot of lateral upgrades if they're not careful. By the way, if you're listening to this right now or you're watching the stream and you're enjoying yourself, it's like an interactive podcast. Remember, clicking the follow button is a free way to support what I do. Those of you that have resubbed, I might have missed a couple. Matt Food, DMAX Speeds, and Robzilla, thank you for those resubs. Remember, when you sub, you will not see ads on the channel. If you're sick of ads on Twitch and they're too disruptive, when you come here, refresh, leave, come back, and you're bouncing in and out, you won't get ads here as a sub. Noth21. Do you think the fun factor of a gun can outweigh the power of another weapon? I've been using exit strategy over recluse for a while now because for me, even if it's weaker, it's more fun and less limiting to my loadout. I think that can happen sometimes. I mean, I'll be honest. I know that this is not the best weapon in the game, but this Optative with Demolitionist, Rapid Hit, and Drop Mag, and I throw on Anti-Barrier, okay? Anti-barrier with Breach Refractor and Demolitionist. I'm getting grenades like crazy. This is actually like a really, really fun build. I actually want to take it all the way up to 10 because people are like, rapid hit with drop mag. I actually like that combination quite a bit. I always have a fast reload. That's actually really good for Demolitionist. I love this role. And some people might look at that and be like, why on earth would you run that? You know, I love it. It's so fun. You run Demolitionist with Anti-Barrier. Anti-Barrier is giving you grenade energy off of Breach Refractor and Demolitionist. You kill 5 to 6 trash adds and you get a grenade back. And if you're running Oppressive Darkness grenades, it's a super fun and really saucy build. It's really, really enjoyable. And I should probably masterwork this grenade launcher just so I never accidentally delete it. I finally got close to the one that I wanted. Unfortunately, we got Rangefinder instead of Field Prep, but we did get the Volatile Launch to buff Full Court. So I'm gonna take this up to 10 just so I know which one is the one. And honestly, we could probably do the same on this 1-2 punch. This 1-2 punch is probably worth taking up as well because it's got auto loading. We have so many enhancement cores. We might as well just for the pretty. And it looks pretty in the menu. Seeing that yellow outline, it looks nice. So I do think the fun factor of a gun can definitely outweigh 100%. I mean, I'm not even running exotic guns almost at all anymore, just because I don't like a lot of them. They don't feel as fun as a grenade launcher. They don't feel as fun as these other guns. Now, if I could run the artifact mods, you would probably see me using Ace of Spades or the Huckleberry or the Graviton Lance or the Sunshot. If I could run the artifact mods on those exotics, I probably would, you know. H. Mongolite, do you think the shrinking of the perk pools in the raid should be moved into other vendors in the future seasons? I would love to see future content vendor with a limited of awful rolls. No, I don't think so. No. There is a good, and a lot of people rip me up in the comments on YouTube for this, but there is something really, really good about getting a roll like this, okay? I want this Dragonfly, and I want Feeding Frenzy. This weapon gains a boost in reload speed as your health gets lower. I don't really need Underdog in PvE, especially on a pulse. You're playing at range, and you're less likely to be getting, you know, shot a bunch. So, this role is good though. It's good for me. Why? It lets me get a taste for Dragonfly. Okay, I get a taste for Dragonfly, and then when I get a taste for Dragonfly, I now have like a glimpse into what the gun might feel like if I get my Dragonfly, if I get my Dragonfly Feeding Frenzy role. You don't want to just have like this. The super limited perk pool, a super limited perk pool that makes all guns pretty much a good roll is not a good idea. It isn't. You never want to be in a situation where that's like harkening back to D2 year one where everybody was just getting a static roll. If the difference between your good roll and my good roll is super marginal, you're really close to static rolls at that point. You know what I'm saying? Sorry, my freaking nose is driving me crazy. I do think that there's something to be said for bad rolls being a necessary thing in the game. And I know people hate that. They're like, why? Why is it necessary? Why do you need that? There has to be that sting of, I want this gun with a good roll, and I'm not going to stop until I get it. There is something about that that I think is helpful and motivating. And whenever you remove that, I think in the raid it's different because it's like you limit how many times we can run it, you know? It's like I can only run it once a week. So if you're going to give me one, at least give me one that tastes good, and then I'll come back next week and try to get a little bit better version. A Ant, why do you think most of the god rolls for weapons are usually associated with reload and damage output? I know it's essential, but I'd like to see more unique perks. Yeah, I mean, this isn't really a question. You know the answer to this. Why do you think rolls are associated with reload and damage output? I know it's essential. Well, I mean, you know the answer to your question then. Like, that's why. It's like doing damage and reloading are the two primary things you can influence to make a gun's lethality increase. That's why, in my talk, I said elemental perks would be a great way to add diversity. Remember Focus Firefly on the Genesis chain? It felt really cool. Things like that maybe don't necessarily make the gun god tier, but at least they make them fun. If the primary role of a primary weapon is just to shoot trash ads, then as long as you're not killing my efficiency with the elemental perks versus reload and damage perks, as long as you're not killing my efficiency, if my efficiency stays the same, then that's the key forward. The only thing that you will put reload away for is a damage perk. Even then, I don't know about that. Slow reload is painful. It is painful. They have spoiled us. Rabbit Hit, Outlaw, and Feeding Frenzy. As soon as you use a Rabbit Hit, an Outlaw, or a Feeding Frenzy weapon for a given time, dude, you cannot use a weapon with slow reload. It is freaking awful. It is awful. You don't even want to use the weapon. It doesn't matter if it's got a damage perk. I can't stand doing it. I can't stand going down. CEK Kingdom. Data recently had a hot take on damage perks, saying he wouldn't mind if they were taken out of the game. Do you think this would be healthy for the game or hurt it in the long run? Curse Kane, thank you for 35 months, dude. So close to 3 years. I agree with Datto. You wouldn't get any complaints from me if damage perks went away. You wouldn't. Because then it would be a matter of, well, what about Demolitionist? Well, what about Dragonfly? Well, what about fill in the blank with any other creative perk? It just, to me, it's not that creative to be like, well, this perk makes the gun damage go up. Okay, how do I proc it? Oh, get a kill. What? I'm already doing that. Like, I'm already getting kills. You're requiring me to basically, it's kind of like this. It's like, this weapon can get its damage buffed. Oh, how? Just use the weapon. Just use it. Wait, what? Like, there's no finesse, there's no intelligence. Now, Swashbuckler, I'll give you, is one of the more creative iterations on a damage perk. Building up to times 5, by the time you get there, a lot of the adds have already been killed and you're going to lose it. So, running in, proccing times 5 with a melee kill, and then having it on times 5, that actually feels kind of saucy. I was running an arc shoulder charge with Skullford. So I would charge in, I would get my shoulder charge, I would get it right back, and I would get 5x Swashbuckler. That was really fun. But again, I don't know. I feel like, here's the thing. I do feel like they've brought damage perks down so that when I run this one right here with Rapid Hit and Demolitionist, I don't feel like, oh my gosh, because that's a 180, this is a 140, right? I'm not like, oh my gosh, I should be running my Ancient Gospel with Rapid Hit Swashbuckler. You know what I'm saying? Swashbuckler's nice, but it doesn't feel like traditionally the damage perks before Shadowkeep were so insanely strong. The minute you took off your damage perk gun, you're like, this thing is freaking worthless. Because you just got so used to all those one taps once Rampage 3 was procced. Now it's like, because they boosted base damage against miners on, you know, which are red bars, because they raised base damage and they lowered the crit multiplier, that and they lowered how strong Rampage and the damage perks are, I actually think damage perks are in a really good place. But because right now they're kind of take it or leave them, that's why I agree with Datto. Like, damage perks have become a little bit like, take them or leave them. I don't need it. Obviously, when you look at the potential roles on an Ancient Gospel or some of the SMGs, you're going to gravitate towards Swashbuckler because it's like, it's the best perk in that lane. It buffs damage. There's nothing else in that lane competing with it. So at this point, I don't even know if the problem is damage perks. You got to put something in that lane that's competing with it, whether it's Dragonfly, burn damage, area of effect damage, chain lightning, something that's minimally influential over combat. So then I feel like I don't have to get a roll with Swashbuckler. Because if you look up a lot of these rolls on light.gg and you look at this last lane, this third lane where Swashbuckler lands, it just, Unfortunately, there's not enough in that lane to really draw your attention other than Demolitionist and Dragonfly. But Demolitionist and Dragonfly are getting more traction. Why? Because damage perks aren't what they once were. You can run that build and you feel like it's a pretty fair trade. That's kind of where I feel like maybe they need to stay. So maybe I'm gonna change my position literally in the middle of talking about it. If Swashbuckler is influential enough that when I take it off, I feel it a little bit, I like that. Because then, if you get rid of damage perks, then everybody's just going to run Demolitionist and Dragonfly. But right now, when I switch to Demolitionist over Swashbuckler, it's like, it's for a specific purpose. I run it with Anti-Barrier, and I'm running Grenade Heavy, and I'm running a build with my armor as well. Like, I'm trying a certain thing. If you suddenly make it to where there's no damage perks in the game, I don't feel that sense of trade. I'm going to lower this weapon's, you know, damage efficiency and lethality, and I'm trading that for crowd control with Dragonfly or grenade regeneration with Demolitionist. I wonder if we need damage perks to maintain that sense of trade. Like, I'm losing this, but I'm gaining this. And that sense of trade, I think, is important. So if they got rid of damage perks, they would need to supplant them with something else. So you're like, if I take off this new perk that Bungie came up with and run Demolitionist, there needs to be that sense of give and take. I think you would lose the give and take if you just got rid of damage perks altogether. So in many respects, I wonder if Datto is now wrong in his opinion. Well, can't really be wrong in his opinion. I wonder if his opinion is not as helpful because they've lowered the efficiency of damage perks into a better way. They had to rebalance the game because of damage perks. Right. That's how game-breaking they were. I feel good about them right now. I really do. When I take off Swash, I don't feel like I'm ruining my loadout. I don't. Now, I might change my mind when I go into really challenging content. I want to run some hard nightmare hunts after Q&A. Arson at Dawn. If we have the return of synergy perks on raid weapons in the future, would you ever want them to expand on the ritual weapons instead of just having them curated instead of good perks? Well, I mean, ritual weapons having a set role is fine because they're basically replacing pinnacle weapons, and that's kind of how they have to function. I don't think we need to mess with that. If they bring back synergistic perks on raid weapons, like the way that they did Focus Firefly, I would think that you'd have to really let us run it more times, or I don't know. It gets dangerous because when you go to a curated role that's the only role that people want, all the other roles people don't want. Imagine if this weapon had like something where Swashbuckler and Rapid Hit were interchanging, and that was like the curated Ancient Gospel. Something like Rapid Hits like and Swash. When you get to a 5, what if when you get to a 5 Swash, Rapid Hit's already maxed out? So you could run in, get a kill with your melee. Swash 5's active, Rapid Hit's active, and as long as you maintain it, it's just like, it's a synergistic role. Well, then nobody would want any of the other roles, probably. So you gotta be careful with that, because then that's the only one that matters, and then whenever the lower roles are coming out, you're just really, really annoyed. One drop a week, you know what I'm saying? Datto may not be a developer, but streamers have more influence on the game than people think. Luke Smith Director's Cuts were talking about the changes they were making after talking to Datto. I think you're overstating the influence that we have. I don't think Luke Smith had a conversation with Datto and then held a meeting with the team to be like, alright guys, we had a talk with Datto. Here's what we need to do. I think that streamers can, not always, I think streamers can do a good job encapsulating like what the community thinks, but you also have to remember something. Some of streamers' influence over the years has led to unhelpful things, like making escalation protocol too strong. Streamers provided feedback that Escalation Protocol was too easy. They made it stronger, and then it was stupid, and they had to lower it. Infusion being really, really painful. That was feedback from streamers that was, by and large, rejected by pretty much all of the community. There was almost nobody in the community that ended up agreeing with the way that, you know, oh, infusion should be a choice, it should be really painful, blah, 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 blah. Leveling should be slow, right? Infusion being a meaningful choice, leveling being slow, and escalation protocol, those are all changes that streamers just kind of miss the mark on. And I think it's because they get jaded in their experience. They play for 9 or 10 hours a day, and they ask for things that don't scale down very well, right? They don't scale down really, really well. A lot of the times, I ask for something that I want to scale down. And I'll give you an example. Intentional loot grind, I think, scales down really, really well. So, if you want a certain role on one of the Vex offensive weapons, that scales down really, really well. Why? A hardcore player can go for the exact perfect god role. A casual player can be like, I love the intentionality. I got a really good role, and I'm okay with that. It actually scales down, like Menagerie and Ada's frames and Ikora's frames all scale down from hardcore to casual really, really well. A lot of what the hardcore streamers have advocated for don't scale down well to the rest of the player base. So it becomes this sharp juxtaposition in the community of leveling and infusion sucks. And then the hardcore streamers are like, what are you talking about? Just play like me. I don't have any problem. I hit max level in 2 weeks. I infuse very infrequently. I also stockpile resources before every DLC. So I feel none of the pain points I advocated for. Like, there was a huge disconnect between a lot of that feedback and a lot of the implementation, and it just didn't scale very well. So I honestly don't think that streamers' influence is where it used to be, and I also don't think that they're, like, taking notes from streamers. Because people were like, oh, Lono, everything you advocated for was in the most recent, you know, 3 or 4 TWABs in a row were, like, talking points for my videos. Well, let's be real. Bungie's not watching my videos taking notes. I think I highlight things that are clear, and Bungie's probably already sniffed them out. A lot of the times, my videos, I would make a video, and then, like, a week later, the TWAB would, like, undercut my video. And people are like, they already addressed this, Lono. So it's like, it's not hard, I don't think, to play the game and, like, unearth problems or imbalances or things that need to be nerfed. I made videos like Pinnacle Weapon Problem, Ikalos Shotgun Needs Nerf. Like, all these, you know, videos ended up coming true. I don't think it's because Bungie takes marching orders from streamers. I just think sometimes we're really good at unearthing problems because we either play more or we interact with the community at a rapid pace. You know? I don't think that's the nature of it. I really don't. I think that they look at Reddit, they look at the forums, they look at Twitter, they take it all into account. Half the streamers want the game to be only raiding and won't step into Gambit or Crucible because losing hurts their egos. Well, I mean, I don't step into Crucible or Gambit because losing is not fun. I don't have an ego about Gambit and PvP. I just don't like those sides of the game. So, if they were watching his videos and taking notes, they'd have invited him to Bungie already. Well, I think they do watch my videos. I've been told they watch my videos. I got positive feedback from Bungie staff about my videos. Like, that's has nothing, those two are disconnected. Me being invited and them watching my videos are disconnected. They do watch my videos and they have indicated that. But I don't think they're literally sitting there pen to paper like, oh my gosh, we gotta take our marching orders from Datto or Lono or Slayer Rage or Cacus or anybody that makes videos that provide feedback. Ginger 300, do you think Masterworking could have a rework like seasonal artifact of sorts, instead of Masterworking just affecting one stat, like a mini skill tree that benefits a wide range of stats on the gun? This is kind of in line with like what I said about making Rapid Hit go from normal to adept to enhanced. Because then you're investing in the gun, and that is helping the stats of the gun. But it would be, I don't know, just like Masterworking the gun and watching all the stat bars go up. I don't know. That doesn't seem like a needed thing. I like the idea of drilling down in certain things. I grind for the god roll that I want, and then I invest in making each perk better. So, Knight's knives. Could allowing us to equip any weapon from the first two slots fix the issue with restricting loadout variety? Well, that would certainly be a nice first step to be able to, if I could equip this optative up here and then run Ikelos down here, you know what would happen? I'll tell you what would happen. You'd be able to run three elements and no one would run kinetic primaries anymore. You would always be running, like, I could throw this up here and run Void, then I could run a solar shotgun like Ikelos, and then I could come down here and I would have Void, Solar, I could run the Acantha D for Arc. I'd have all three elements covered by my weapons. That would be amazing. I would love that, but then the kinetic non-elemental primaries would get completely ignored. So they're not going to do that. I think they need to go to where primaries are primaries again. I think they need to go to primaries being primaries. Put random elements on all primaries. Let me put those primaries up there. Let me do both, because people like to run double primary. People like to run two shotguns and two snipers or whatever the frick. Like, if people want to run that, let them. But, you know, I think we need to return to true elemental primaries again. It's the system right now is just absolutely muddled and confused. We have an absolute swath of elemental primaries down in that energy slot. And there's like a handful of kinetic secondary weapons that you can use. A handful. The three element part's not what they're going to allow, in my opinion. Oh, I think you're wrong. I think we can go back to it. I think that it's... They've made it clear that they can apply pain with the artifact and the champions. Popping a shield with your elemental primary has got to be one of the most exaggerated benefits from the community every time this comes up. People just completely exaggerate that. Like, popping a shield? Ugh. If I could suddenly run all three elements, I don't know. I just think people really overstate that as a benefit to the player. It is not that significant. It's pretty minor, you know? Now that I have Divinity, I'm on the hunt for a good ad-killing kinetic weapon, preferably an SMG. It'd be so nice to be able to slap your subjunctive, you know. Obviously, Recluse needs reined in, but you could slap your, you know, your Recluse up there, too. I find more benefit running double secondary than popping shields. Yeah, popping shields is just not that strong, you know. The only viable kinetics would be the exotics, giving them more footing. Yeah, but they still need to be able to run the artifact. Either way you land that. Resident Recon. Do you think Bungie should add D1 perks, giving us more variety? Say if I wanted an imperative scout rifle with Vision of Confluence perks, we could grind for that. I mean, they've already brought back a lot of the D1 perks. They've just renamed them. You know, Cocoon is now auto-loading holster, and Rampage was once crowd control, and, you know, Feeding Frenzy and Outlaw are there. I don't know. Three elements breaks match game? No, it doesn't. It brings it into full fruition. Three elements makes Prism and match game actually function in a good and player responsive way, as opposed to being something that's just annoying. Prism and match game are annoying, and they wouldn't be annoying if they would not be annoying if you had all three elements. You would build yourself intelligently with your team. You know, it makes them useless modifiers? Completely overstated. Not true. It does not make them useless. No. Because I could run Void primary, you could run an Arc primary, and somebody else could run a Solar primary. And now we're communicating, there's a synergy, there's a plan, there's a strategy. It doesn't make them useless at all. Listen, modifiers are meant to make you adjust your game plan and your loadout. And modifiers like that don't. It would make Borealis and Hardlight obsolete? No, it wouldn't. Because then you could still run those, and you could run those and have still the benefit of a primary that can constantly switch. Are you always going to want to shove with your shotgun that's solar? Not always. You could have something that can switch to solar with the Hardlight, and you could keep your distance and have solar for those shield pops. I'm telling you. This is just a perfect example right now of it being completely overstated. Like, match game and Prism would still function you would swap your loadout, you would communicate with your team, and it would make you adjust your gameplay around the modifier. That's what modifiers are supposed to do. Right now, when people see Match Game or Blackout or any of those other ones that are too painful, I think a lot of times people just avoid them. They're like, I don't want to deal with that. It's just annoying. It doesn't, I don't know. I'm never going to see eye to eye on people that think having three elements is a huge problem to balance. Because, like, Match Game is, like, such a significant needed thing. Match Game is the hardest part of 980 Nightfalls. I don't know. Match Game's only in Nightfalls. I thought it was also showing up on Nightmare Hunts. Isn't it on the harder Nightmare Hunts right now? If I go up to Legend? Yeah, Match Game's on Legend Nightmare Hunts. I don't know, dude. You can do so much more if people could have three elements. You could bring back Rainbow Burn. You could do so many other things. You could do so many other modifiers that play hand in hand with people being able to run three elements. People are trying to limit for one instance where, I don't know. You forgetting your super is your third element? Yeah, I mean, I guess if you were intentionally running Demolitionist and Anti-Barrier rounds with Breach Refractor, you could make that be like, okay, this is going to be my third element. I don't know. Having run the difficult Nightfalls, having three elements active all the time would make a good portion of the content a joke. Again, that just feels hyperbolic. To describe a 980 Nightfall as, quote-unquote, a joke, if I could just have three elements running. I just really feel like that's just a complete overstatement. It just feels exaggerated. I don't think like a 980 Delta Nightfall isn't going to feel like a quote-unquote joke because I can run three elements. I just, again, anytime anybody argues against this, they do it with so much exaggeration. I can't take the other side seriously because it's like you're always exaggerating the point. It's not that big of a benefit. You're keeping us from what was better in Destiny 1, having all three elements. You're keeping us from that for what? For Match Game? Really? If a 980 Nightfall is a joke when you have three elements, then it already is a joke, because you can have teammates covering shields anyway. Exactly! You can run three different primaries right now and just talk to your teammates and just trade off shield popping. Like, D-Max Speeds. Would you be okay with further nerfing us as Guardians to fit a Weapon 2.0 system, because otherwise we would be too powerful? Well, you don't have to further nerf us. No, you don't have to further nerf us. I feel like we're already in a good place for some of the perks to be better. And a lot of what I'm advocating for in the perks going up from like normal to adept to enhanced. Enhanced is not that different on a perk roll. It's more about like you feeling like this gun is capstone. Also keep in mind, I'm saying that in conjunction with saying they needed to add a lot more perks too. New perks, you know. What's stopping you from using your elemental primary if it's moved to the top slot? I don't understand what you're responding to. I just think being able to run a void primary and a solar shotgun and an arc heavy would be really, really fun. And if you want to plant your flag on Match Game and be like, this is going to be an absolute joke if you let us do that. Like, I think you're planting your flag on a super, super small thing that they could, adjust. They could adjust the Match Game modifier to be like, we're going to give you the ability to run three elements, so we've made Match Game more significant or something. Like, I don't know, more painful. We've made Match Game different, or we've gotten rid of it and added something else. I don't know. Like, I feel like they could run other modifier. Are they trying to say that being able to use all three elements will make the content easier? That's level. Yeah, that's what people always say. They're like, it'll make the content a joke. It'll make Match Game a joke. It'll make 980 Nightfalls a joke. And I'm just like, man, you are really overstating it. You're really exaggerating. I don't think it would suddenly do that. Don't act like popping arc shields with a solar weapon is 99% of the content is a pain point. Popping arc shields with a solar. I don't know. I think you need to run a 980 Nightfall. Oh, I don't want to run 980 Nightfalls until I'm closer to the Delta. I don't like running like really, really extreme Delta content. I get annoyed. It's just not my cup of tea. Clay Tonks, do you believe that this is a good time for them to bring back the concept of weapon synergy such as the Mida with Drang? I would prefer to see them come up with perk combinations and perk investment systems and weapons that synergize with armor more than what you're talking about. I don't know if I like the idea of like the Mida multi, the Mida mini combo stuff. I don't know. You can already run 2 out of 3 elements on one person. Yeah, I don't think adding a third is going to tip the scales over. If that's all that's holding those things together, making them challenging, it just match game, I don't feel like that would... If that's all it's going to take to tip the scales over and make that content a joke, then the content can't be that hard to begin with. Weapon armor synergies and untapped goldmine. Yeah, I would rather them do that than make me run 2 weapons. What if each gun came with at least 2 perks and at least 2 slots, but there is a point system that if you pick the reload perk, you can't put on a damage perk as well. So no rapid hit rampant. No. This is not the way to go. I don't think we want to go to a point system where we're like, hey, you picked rapid hit, so you can't pick swashbuckler. That's not the way to go. I don't think so. I would rather have more perks, more synergistic perks, clearly perks built to run with others, and then you run them and build synergies and maybe even invest in those perks to make them stronger. The only way this game is difficult ever is increased health bars on enemies. Match game literally turns your bullets into Nerf darts. Right, but I think with champions, they're on the right track, Flame. Right? Like, champions that you have to stun with Unstoppable or they wreck your team. Champions that regen their health with a shield. Like, that's a mechanic that you have to stop from happening. I feel like the champions and those champion mods are a really good step in the direction to saying, we can create rhythmic pain points that isn't just, here's a giant health bar. It's, here's an enemy that needs stunned, here's an enemy that regens itself if you don't pop its shield, and then what's the other one? The overload. I think the champion is a really, really smart move that nullifies a lot of what folks in chat are saying. Because they could increase the number of champions anytime they want if they feel like we're getting too strong or something. Dupless. Now knowing that Bungie can in fact disable weapons if needed, do you think they can use this method to disable OP PvE weapons in PvP? That would be a punt, Dupless. Like, I understand where you're coming from, but that's a punt. So, all this weapon's too strong in Crucible, just disable it. That's not what you should be doing. They're disabling exploits, you know. What was it? The Jotun that they disabled from the raid, and then they recently disabled Telesto. They're disabling those because of exploits. They're not disabling because they're too strong. Like, oh, well, the Recluse is just too strong in Crucible right now. Oop, disable it. That's a punt. Those guns should be tweaked if they're deduced as being too strong or something. 2-0 Gaming. Are there any perks from D1 you'd like to see come over into what weapons? Man, I can't think of very many. You know, Hidden Hand was really nice. Hand Laid Stock, Braced Frame. You know, these are ones I really, really liked. But that was just a different time. Forza, since we didn't get raid perks on the raid guns, my question is, do we ever really need them? Just saying, they might have to design the raid around the perks rather than the other way around. In Garden of Salvation, I see no encounter that a perk would help you. Let me think. Yeah, I was thinking like a perk that you could pop their shields without enlightenment, but that would be broken. I don't necessarily, when I'm arguing for perks, I think you're misunderstanding my argument. I'm not asking for Oracle Disruptor. I'm asking for Genesis Chain. Oracle Disruptor is not what I'm asking for. I'm asking for perks that are unique. You couldn't get Genesis Chain's perks anywhere else in the game. That's how it should be. Shoot while tethered? That might be broken. I don't know. That nullifies tether as a finesse you would be able to rebuild really, really easy. You'd be able to rebuild stupidly easy if you could shoot while tethered. You could always be rebuilding and just shoot and just keep shooting. I don't think that would be a good move. There's a giant centipede that just ran past me. Because one of the main reasons that you have to rebuild with finesse and timing right now is because you can't shoot anything while you're rebuilding. And if you suddenly could, that would nullify tether as like a pain point in the raid. You'd always be able to rebuild. Ads would not be a threat. It would be nice to shut down the tether on command at least. Yeah, I feel like the tether is supposed to be an unwieldy pain point. I just think people aren't finessing it. They're blaming the mechanic instead of engaging with it in a better way. Once we started finessing it and really planning how to use it, tether became a non-issue for us. Tether is an issue for people that aren't paying attention or they're not finessing it. They're blaming the wrong thing. Jamarox. Do you think a good way to buff less desirable perks on weapons like Mulligan and Hipfire Grip is to add damage buff? For example, rounds refunded from missing a shot do extra damage, or hip firing with the weapon with hip fire grip does more damage. I don't know. These don't seem like... These seem like bad suggestions. Because you're rewarding people for playing bad? Like... Like, missing your shots, giving a damage buff? Hip fire? So sloppily aiming, getting a damage buff? Getting a damage buff? I don't know. I don't think that would be that good. I don't know if we want to keep... I don't know if we want to reach into every perk and add damage to them. I don't know if we want to do that. Sasquatch. Do you think we will continue to see activity-specific mods introduced? Secondly, do you prefer them over the universal utility that Year 2 mods could have? I love the mods for Nightmare Hunts and the Raid. I love them. I think they're really, really good, and they are noticeably impactful. So, more power to that. That's contextual power. That's something that we've argued for a long time here. Giving me mods and perks and things that are relevant to the activity, I think is really, really good. Here's a raid perk, always connected. Damaging a Vex stuns nearby Vex for a few seconds. I just don't think I want Bungie spending time on something like that. That's a specific thing to Vex and that weapon. Do you know how much time that would probably take to develop? That's a lot of moving parts. Again, I don't think we need raid-specific perks. I think we need good perk synergy. Like, aspirational content should be rewarding you with a gun that you take into, like, basically the entire game and it feels great. Like, Fatebringer, Ex Mechanica, or Ex Machina, or whatever it was called, the Sniper from Wrath, Genesis Chain, Chaos Dogma, Steel Medulla. These were weapons that felt strong everywhere in the game. Now, Steel Medulla felt the best whenever you finally got the exotic version and re-ran, like, Voidburn content or something. But like the Sniper from Wrath and Genesis Chain and Fatebringer and Vex Mythoclast and I'm sorry, Vision of Confluence, these were guns that felt good everywhere, not just in the raid. And I think it came from the perks and the perk synergies. Arguing for perks like that, where you kill Vex and they get all stunned or whatever, I don't know. Salty Scrub Life says, With anti barrier rounds having the added effect of shooting through Hydra shields and Hydra night shields. I'm sorry, and night shields. Do you think Bungie should lean more into creative mods for the main mod pool instead of just seasonal? I personally like these type of effects on the Crota weapons in D1. I mean, I think what they're doing with the artifact mods are great. They just need to, you know, rotate them each season and make them worth using. Das Goosh says, should Bungie create events that promote the use of specific perks? Something along the lines of Match Game from Nightfalls, but specific to perks. I mean, yeah, I guess. Mr. Psych. Do you think Bungie has done enough to create build diversity around weapons? Seems like most builds are tied to a few powerful mods at the moment. Well, they haven't really done anything to the weapons yet. They need to do more to the weapons. They're leaning into the right direction, but they need to do more. Resident Recon. Do you think Bungie should treat the Kvasov and the Traveler's Chosen sidearm like they did with Necrochasm, allowing us to get them as white, then to Legendary, and then to Exotic, giving us that D1 nostalgia grind, but letting us keep the Legendary version? You're asking for something really, really, really narrow that I don't care about. That's just super narrow. I don't give a flip about them doing that with Kvasov and Straveler. I talk big picture. I talk big picture grind and loot pools and incentivization. You're talking about two weapons that I just don't give a rip about. Dritsis, do you think Bungie in different seasons not putting damage perks in the loot pool and adding new perks? Is that a good... Okay, that's not even a fully functioning question, and that's literally what we've been talking about all day. Coolio, would you say that for the most part that great weapon perk rules are more important than the gun itself? Well, it depends. You can get a god roll on a weapon that handles like garbage. The Scout from Vex Offensive is kind of one of those. It just feels slow, it's sluggish, it doesn't feel like a great weapon. You can get a god roll on it, but the weapon isn't good. It doesn't feel like a good weapon right now. You can get a mediocre roll on the Subjunctive SMG, and it's probably going to feel like a stronger weapon, because SMGs are just in a better spot right now. Jared DeVulture. I'm double dipping here with questions. Are you satisfied with Vex Offensive loot pool? I wish they bring back a few more of the different new perks. Maybe Vex specific perks. What are your feelings on that? I really don't like enemy specific perks, because then it's like the weapon, you're throwing a perk away. Now, if it was an extra perk, maybe. An extra perk, I would maybe side with you. But I don't want to like give up Rapid Hit or Swashbuckler or Demolitionist for a Vex specific perk. I don't know. If you're going to give me a Vex specific perk, it needs to be all by itself, because that's a big throwaway for something that's like just against the Vex. I'd be happy if the Vex offensive weapons were just actually good weapons. They are. The Subjunctive and the Hand Cannon are both great weapons, and the Pulse is arguably really good if you get it with Feeding Frenzy Dragonfly. Yeah, intrinsic perks would be really, really cool. Vex offensive weapons doing more damage to Vex just like intrinsically would be neat. Buddy NKC, what do you think about the enemy specific perks? Like, yeah, we just, the same question we just answered. Fluffy Rhino, when Trials comes back, would you rather them have new weapons or the D1 weapons make a return? I don't have a strong opinion on either. You probably want to do new weapons. You're going to tick people off, I would think. Shortchange Hero, do you think the artifact perks based on weapon types is better than what we have now? Anti-barrier on ARs and subs, overload on shotguns and pulses, unstoppable on hand cannons and scouts. Do you think this would promote diversity in play? I would love to see more of the mods land on non-primaries. I also would love to see maybe some of them are just all primaries, some of them are just all secondaries. Excluding pulses and scouts this season is a bit of a bummer. Pulse and a scout is half of the Vex offensive grind. There's also a really good pulse that you can get from the raid, and not being able to put those artifact mods on there is a bit of a bummer. Gwen's First Night, do you think that Bungie lost their support developer studios? They'll bring a raid in the next seasons. I don't think we're getting a raid until September of next year. If we get a raid, it's most likely to land in the spring and be small like a lair, but I think that's unlikely. A raid in any of the future seasons, winter, spring, and summer, I believe it's unlikely. I believe if we do get one, it will be in the spring and it will be the size of a raid lair. Debata, any ideas on new perks that would be fun? I've already addressed a bunch of those in the talk. Mike Quad, do you think Bungie's lost their way with fun weapons after bouncing between BL3 and D2? I noticed Destiny doesn't have as many fun guns as they used to. You'd have to give examples, because there's plenty of really, really dope guns in this game. I don't remember playing D1 and ever being like, this gun's fun, and is a lot like Borderlands. Like, that's never really been a thing. Mac2099, from previous discussions, could a fix or improvement for raid weapons be let them equip two mods, for example, anti-barrier and targeting adjuster? I think that should be true for all year 3 weapons. I feel like year 3 weapons should all be able to submit to do both the artifact and a normal mod, to be a soft push towards using year 3 weapons. Because I would love to run the, I've got the Like, imagine being able to run this with Demolitionist and being able to run Anti-Barrier, but also being able to run Minor Spec. This would make this slightly, marginally better than any gun that's not a year 3 gun. It would be a soft push to use the new weapons. And I believe that would be a great way to allow you to still, yeah, you want to use your old weapons, fine, but they can't use the Artifact mod and a normal mod. That'd be a really good way, I think, to push people to the new weapons. Levitate Green. Do you think that the incremental nerf to damage perks is some sort of weaning the community off of them? On that point, too, do you think there's enough variation for non-damage perks? Well, no, they didn't add enough new perks. I think right now everybody's sort of, like, discovering Demolitionist and Dragonfly. But other than that, everybody's kind of clamoring to Rampage and Swashbuckler as they did in the past. Dr. Badalama. Could some armor perks be moved to weapons? For example, ones that regen super like pump action or remote connection. I mean, maybe. I don't know if that's needed, though. I think I like weapon perks being associated with the weapon. But then I guess Demolitionist isn't. So maybe they could. I wouldn't be opposed to that. Resident Recon. Datto and Kakis were talking about the pinnacle grind from 950 to 960 is too excessive. Datto estimated it would take someone 80 items to get to 960, so it sounds to me like pinnacles are dropping plus 1. Should Bungie make pinnacles drop at plus 3, plus 5? No, this is a misunderstanding of what's happening, and Bungie just doesn't want to admit what's going to happen because I think they're worried about the reception of it. You are not getting a power bump every season. The grind to 960 is meant to be a multi-season grind. We're not getting a power bump every season. I feel it in my bones. It's not happening. 950 is the gear cap for the rest of the year. 960 is the next gear cap for Pinnacle, and then the artifact resets every season. I think that's what's happening. I think the 960 grind is meant to be a multi-season grind, and we are not getting power bumps. They've already said that, 960 for the year. Where have they said that, Kinigmatic Echo? Have they said that explicitly? Have they said in explicit terms 960 is the cap for the year? I'm okay with that, by the way, because the most aspirational content's 980. 980 is still out of reach if you're 960, because they're going to reset your artifact every season. So, they said there would be a power grind each season. No, they did not. They've not said that anywhere. They said that the artifact will reset every season as a power grind every season. They've not said there's a power grind every season. They have not said that. They haven't said either. They've not said in either direction what's happening. They've actually been pretty quiet about it, which makes me think my side's more likely to be correct. I think my side's more likely to be correct because they've been very, very silent about it. Arania. Do you think they could re-add an option to add kill counter on exotics that don't have the catalyst? This isn't a huge deal. I don't really care about that. Sure, add it. Bacon. Hi, Lono. Do you think kinetic heavy weapons are viable? I'm just curious and thinking about bringing more diversity. This isn't really needed right now. I think the weapon system needs a lot of treatment, and there's just no real need for that. Cruxley. Well, if instead of a gear drop, Pinnacle Rewards plus 1 power consumable that could be applied to any slot, you guys are getting down into minutiae, so I'm skipping questions like that. KHRP14. What do you think of a system that the more kills you get with the weapon, the more perks open up for it? For example, 10,000 kills unlocks a third perk to use. This sounds just not enjoyable. I prefer to invest in the weapon and increase the efficacy of the perks. If I have to wait for 10,000 kills to get a perk unlocked, do you know what people are going to do? You don't want to know what people are going to do. That's horrible. That would be absolutely awful. even if it was just 1,000 kills, I don't like this suggestion. No offense to your idea, but I don't like your suggestion because it turns it into an absolute slog to get another perk. The Bomb Dog. Do you think Arbalest and Ariana's Vow should negate match game and Prism type modifiers and pop any elemental shields? Sure. Lords. How would you feel about Pinnacle Activities rewarding exotic mods with multiple perks? With the trade-off being you can only equip it... I'm not doing this. I don't like getting down into very, very specific minutiae suggestions. There's absolutely no way for me to elaborate on the far-reaching effects of ideas like that. I'm not doing the here's my elaborate idea thoughts thing. I'm just not doing it anymore. 30 months from Drillmaster, thank you. We got 19 months from LD3598. I don't know if I thanked you for that. Thank you. T-Funk. You think Triumph Connected Player housing could be a thing? I started to mess around with menagerie stuff and really enjoyed having a place to mess around, not in a public space. I mean, you've already got it. You've got the Tribute Hall. I don't know how much... This just isn't a front burner issue for me. Stuff like this just doesn't matter, I think, in the grand scheme. We need content. We need loot. We need content loops with good loot to chase. I don't need a room to hang out in with decorations. I need content to grind. You know, I need loot to chase. Epic nerd. What about raid armor perks or set bonuses that alters or improves your subclass? Nope, we got great modifiers this season for the raids. I think it's fine. We don't need anything. We don't need set bonuses. We don't need any of that. I don't think that's going to work in the current armor system. F and Alpha says, do you know if the 980 Nightfall exotic pool is only non-Shadowkeep exotics? I actually have no idea. Mac, instead of enemy-specific perks, what about type-specific? Red bars, majors, bosses and such? There's mods for that. Zoom. Why are they nerfing One-Eyed Mask and not overpowered Stompies, which makes hunters jump into the sky and won't even be able to see them? Okay, next question. Mr. Han Brolo, do you think they should bring back the Call of Duty guns with Curse of Osiris guns with random rolls, or make it like Vex offensive guns redundant? It's relevant content. Where is Osiris? I don't know. I mean, I think it's fine to bring them back the way they brought them back. I would love to see, you know, Vex offensive inform and inspire a revisit of like Escalation Protocol or Curse of Osiris weapons in the Infinite Forest or something. But I don't know if they need to be brought back with random rolls. I've been a proponent of bringing back things with random rolls, but Vex offensive kind of hurts that, right? Because we've already got those guns kind of brought back already. So I don't know if they would do that. If they did it, it would be the other weapons that didn't make it back, and then they'd have to tie it to an activity, I would think. Roxatios says, do you think scout rifles were fixed in Shadowkeep? Do you like where they are at this point? Scouts feel okay on the moon, and they feel okay in stuff like in the moon, right? From the September 26th TWAB, every season brings with it some tweaks to the power climb. I guess it doesn't technically mean we're getting a new power climb each season. Right, and when they elaborate on the power climb each season, they only really talk about the artifact. So, I don't know. Like I said, they've been pretty quiet about it. They've actually been very, very quiet about the power grind each season. They haven't said much, which I think, again, leans towards what I think is going to happen. Doesn't mean I'm right. I think it makes it more likely. I think they would come out and explicitly state if we were getting a power grind every season. And again, when you look at this power structure difficulty of Nightmare Hunts and Nightfalls going up to 980, it works with my suggestion. Because here's the thing you got to keep in mind. Imagine. Track with me here. I think I'm going to make a pretty good argument. Imagine right now you're getting to a place where you're building up and grinding to where you can run a 980 Nightfall. You're 950, you know, your artifacts adding a certain amount, okay? And then next season, they add another power grind on your gear, which means you got to go through infusion, you got to go through power leveling again, and you got to grind up the artifact to work your way back up to this 980, okay? And keep in mind, if they let us all bump our power level by 10 or 20, all this stuff probably has to shift. Adept, Hero, Legend, and Master all have to shift down to make up for the fact that people are already close to those levels once they get their artifact level back up, okay? So they're hitting you multiple times. You gotta level again, you gotta infuse again, you gotta level up the artifact again, and you feel like you're kind of getting like, you're getting thrown back down the ladder at multiple levels. If the only thing that resets next season is the artifact, then your work toward getting into this delta isn't altogether reset. It isn't altogether reset. Like, you're working your way back to that, you're working way back to it, and then all these power structures stay in place. So, the video was disabled, but they said at Gamescom that 960 would be max power for year 3, and that your power grind each season would be focused on the artifact. I feel like they've heavily hinted at that being the reality. I don't remember that exact quote, though, that he's saying was made. Why would they cap infusion materials if levels aren't going up? They're doing it because levels aren't going up, Troy. That's exactly why they're doing it. Flip it around and think about it. They're capping infusion because levels aren't going up, so we're going to spend the next 12 months stockpiling infusion materials for the next, the next year reset thing that happens next September. It actually bolsters my argument even more, Because there is no level climb every season. You would be spending 12 months saving all those infusion materials and be able to completely bypass it again a year from now. The more you look at it, the more you look at the structure and the decisions they've made, the more it seems clear to me we are not getting a power grind outside of the artifact every season. Stockpile Enhancement Corzin said, true. Baby Kane Boy. We saw a teaser of the No Land Beyond returning. Do you think we'll see it in the near future? I don't remember seeing that, but if we saw it, then sure. Get Wrecked Ralph. Does using energy weapons that match your armor's energy type give me... Nope, it doesn't do anything. 4D Block, I think. 4D Block says, do you think scout rifles should have anti-barrier and overload? Do you think that... Yeah, I think all of the weapons should have been included. I think excluding scouts and pulses was a bit of a mistake, as well as excluding exotics. Arania, is it possible to reach tier 10 on two stats of the current armor or just one stat? Luke Smith said you could get to 100, which is a tier 10. You could get to 100 without mods. So I would think you'd be able to do this with the right rolls and with the right mods. You probably could, yes. Luthar, do you think the fact that we can put anti-barrier rounds ETC on exotic is something bunch? Oh, we can't. Is something overlooked? I literally tweeted about this today. Go follow me on Twitter, retweet that tweet, let Bungie know that we want artifact mods on exotics. This season was supposed to put a better distance between legendaries and exotics, giving exotic primaries more footing again, and they're not. Because I can't run the artifact mods in the hard content. So legendaries win again. You know, it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate. So that is question number like 56. So that's plenty of questions. No more questions have been submitted. Don't go anywhere. We're going to keep streaming. We're going to do some Nightmare Hunt stuff and try and get some Supreme mods. If you're listening to this on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or watching on YouTube, you can always catch me live at SayNoToRage.com. And if you're here live right now, you can push the follow button. That's a free way to support the channel and make sure that you don't miss these talks and these Q&A sessions. As always, stay here if you're here live, and if you're listening or watching in other locations, please like, share, and subscribe.